Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast, and we're happy to have you back supporting the programming here on meangreennation.com. Everyone has a podcast, right? It's the new check my blog out, right? It's like, yeah, I got a podcast. Like, oh, what do you guys talk about? Like, oh, well, just, you know, like me living on 4th Street. That's basically how it is now. Everybody has a podcast, just like they had a blog. And we appreciate you tuning in to this one. We're like, what, one of three? Four? I know Matt Bruni has a podcast now. He talks about Mean Green there. You know, there's the GoMeanGreen.com one. But I think we're the only other one. And I like being the other one. One of many. That talks about our favorite little college football team. And, you know, we appreciate you. We try not to do a whole lot of fancy sounds and zingers at your ears. You know, you can turn on the radio and get that, right? It's Vox Sports Radio. You know, we don't do that. You just turn on just a regular podcast. I don't want to be screaming at you in your ear as you're at work. Or, you know, zinging and zanging you. You know, you could be listening to Bill Simmons talk to his buddies or his uncle or whoever he talks to on his podcast. Instead, you're listening to us, and we appreciate it. With me, as usual, Mr. Aldo Avina, how are you doing this fine evening?
As usual, I'm sick.
You're such a dad.
I know, every time.
Yeah, it's like every one of my friends who are parents of like school age children or ones that take them to like daycare and things, they're always sick. They're always sick and sneezing or something.
It's like every Friday, oh, what are we taking home today?
Yeah, something like that. Well, thanks for joining the show, Aldo, from the land of sickness. Let's talk about some things. The NFL draft was this week. Once again, our little university failed to put a player into the draft. We thought it was going to be close with Jeff Wilson, but I mean he was our best player, right? And he was the most draftable player. And unfortunately, it's 2018, right? It's not 1978, and so running backs are not super popular. Like the math, the numbers do not support you drafting running backs. Looking at you, Giants, right? Drafted Saquon Barkley over there. But, I mean, you know, so our best players, you know, he didn't get drafted. He got overlooked. Ito Smith, the other kind of, the guy that's like most comparable, I think, to Jeff Wilson. We've talked about this before. He was drafted, what was that, fifth round to the Falcons?
Fourth round, pick 126. Round.
Yeah. I think they liked the fact that Ito Smith can catch the ball like demonstrably better, and he's less injury prone. But a lot of people like Jeff Wilson. I think he'll have a chance to do some things there in San Francisco. He got picked up as an undrafted free agent along with Keyshawn McClain, and Keyshawn McClain went to the Raiders, and then Trevor Moore to Tampa Bay. Those are the big three moving on as of right now. I know Andy Flusher's trying to work out. Trying to get a gig.
I think Darvin Kidsey got a chance with the Browns.
Yeah, saw that too. That's interesting also. And I mean, it's frustrating because he really could have done some things here, but he kind of got into some issues, and you know, he helped see his way off the team. And but you know, another guy with North Texas ties in the NFL. Before we continue on that, are there any thoughts on the draft that you had there? Did it surprise you or anything?
In general?
Yeah, just overall.
It was pretty one of the most exciting drafts that I've seen in a few years, that's for sure. Probably since the Manziel draft when the Browns were jumping all over the place.
Yeah, I think it's so crazy. I remember when the draft was like, you know, like on ESPN2 or something like that, and everybody's like, "What do you do?" I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna watch the draft. It's gonna be crazy." Like, it's on TV. You know, people were kind of shocked by it. Now it's a whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like prime time
Thursday night.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny. It's like that, and I've like moved on. I'm like, nah, you know, I'm not gonna watch the draft. I'm too old for it now. Of course, the thing. It's like right now, like all the Marvel movies. If this happened, like, during college, I would be super hyped and like talking, but I'm like, I read all those comics, I kind of know what's gonna happen, and you know, I don't really care so much anymore.
But it started in college. It's been going on forever.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Is like I was there for like back when comic book movies were not a thing, and I was like, you got to support these movies, man. They're not gonna make any more of them. You know, I was reading the blogs about Iron Man and trying to see if that was gonna be any good. And it was amazing. It was fist pump amazing that it was good. And then they had the Avengers post credit scene. All that was great. But now I'm just like, you know, the battle is won. I don't have to get hyped about it anymore. Everybody gets it. Now it's the big bully. It's like, geez, they need to stop making all these comic book movies, man. Let's do something else. That is all an aside. So let's talk some notables. Obviously, number one, Marcus Davenport to the New Orleans Saints. Number 14, not only did the Saints pick him up and show interest in him, they traded some guys. They traded, next year's first-round pick and like a sixth-round pick this year or something like that. I think it might have been a fifth. To move up to get Marcus Davenport, a lot of people were thinking that New Orleans were going to take Lamar Jackson at that spot. It was kind of a surprise, but it was not a surprise that Marcus Davenport went at about that spot.
Yeah, for sure. It was a surprise that the Saints targeted him at that point. And the Saints are always spending a first to move back up. You know, they've done it in the past all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were pretty upset about the Davenport pick, but they're gonna be a pretty good defense, especially considering in the NFC South when you got Cam Newton, you got Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston. You need the pass rush, and I think he's going to do pretty good there.
Yeah. I mean, I think this pick made some people kind of upset. You know, like, so Marcus Davenport is obviously a UTSA player, right? And a lot of people were celebrating from the UTSA side. And I think rightly so, right? You get a guy from your squad going in the first round. You're excited about it. There was a write-up in the paper. Everybody's kind of throwing a party. I think he had like a party here. It's like Marcus Davenport, NFL draft party. Come out. Drinks are half off to 11 or something like that. It's a big old thing. And that's all great. But I think it's what people are losing sight of here is that getting guys to the NFL is a goal of a program, right? Like that should be our goal. Like you come here, we get you ready to go to the next level and, you know, make a career doing this. For some guys, we get you ready to go on to be coaches at the next level. Like, you know, Derek Thompson, he's a coach, high school coach. There's a couple of linemen that are coaches. Brandon Bird, he's moving on. He's a coach. I mean, like, that's another thing that you do. You prepare them to teach the game at the next level if they can't play at the next level. But that is not the ultimate goal while they're there, right? You want talent in here so you can win trophies, you know, as they say overseas. But to win, right? To win games, win bowl games, to win division championships, to win conference championships, and, you know, pie in the sky, national championships, right? But that's what you're here for. And so then it makes me look. He's like, wow, they had Marcus Davenport, you know, number 14 pick, first rounder. Well, what did they win with him? Like, what was their most impressive victory last season? UTSA, I'm talking about. Was it Baylor? Was it hapless Baylor who lost to Liberty? It's like that was the big win for UTSA with the first rounder on the defensive line, or was it maybe Rice with? Because I was watching that game, Rice would have won, but for Marcus Davenport. So like you look at it, you're like, he won him a game against Rice, and they won a game against Baylor. Like those are the two things, and they almost beat us, right?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks for UTSA. They had that awesome defensive coordinator or defensive line coach that went off to maybe San Francisco. I'm trying to remember here. Their defense was great. Their offense, you know, that coach.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too, is that they lost their head coach their defensive coordinator to Alabama, right? He was so good that you know, Nick Saban was like, you need to be on my squad. That awesome defense. Nothing, right? I think they're one of their cornerbacks, Davis. I think it was Davis. That's the guy that Jalen Guyton beat, and then on the sideline, our behind the scenes show caught Jalen Guyton saying he's not a cornerback. That's a linebacker playing cornerback. And that made me laugh. And, you know, like, that sticks out in my head. And, yes, it's because I'm a North Texas fan. But that sticks out in my head is that, like, they had two NFLers there, right? They had a first-rounder coming after Mason Fine. And while he did a lot of damage, North Texas put up lots of points on him. And they went 75 yards. And, yes, one of those passes was a little bit of a luck pass, the one to the standard there.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, like, the rest of it was just execution. Like, early the first quarter, that was just execution. And yeah, so it makes me feel good about our squad. Go ahead.
So my point is that Frank Wilson is able to bring these coaches, able to bring these players that are really good, like Marcus Samford, develop these guys. But in the game, you know, he's not putting them in a place where they can succeed.
And that has been the knock on him. Yeah, that has been the knock on the guy. Everybody said when he got hired, they're like, okay, can he coach? He can bring guys in, but can he coach them up? That's the other part of coaching, right? Part one, you bring good guys in, convince them to come play for you. Part two is that you turn them into better football players. Part three is you win games with those guys, right? You do some in-game adjustments. You do some game planning. You do some preparation for the games. Again, winning. So you look at Frank Wilson. He's in every P5 rumor, right? Especially everything in the SEC. And then you look at his resume and you see he's gone to one bowl game in 2 years and he lost it. And with it, you know, like they got ran over a couple times and they got sliced up by some of the conference's best offenses, Southern Miss, North Texas. And then so then you're like, okay, well, what are they doing there? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he inherited a decent team. It was, at worst, an average Conference USA team. And he hasn't been able to push them above that. With a guy like Marcus Davenport, he should have been taking over games, and then the offense should have just come in and won the game for them. And they're just not doing it in-game. But I like Marcus Davenport. He's awesome.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, I agree.
He's good because he went in the first round to the Saints, and he'll do some damage.
Yeah, and so, you know, like, this is not just to knock them or just to, you know, pop their balloon, right, the celebratory balloon. But it's more to kind of put it all into context, because I think one of the first things that people started saying as soon as Marcus Davenport was drafted was like, wow, North Texas can't put anybody in. What is going on here? Well, that's the thing, is that, like, yeah, we want to develop more guys and put them into the NFL. Unfortunately, at this level, the kind of guys that you're going to get into the NFL, like draftable dudes, are quarterbacks. And you just look around, right? Mike White got drafted. And then Magoo, right? McGuff, whatever his name is, the guy from FIU, he got drafted. Those are the two. Okay, and then receivers and running backs. Those are the other ones. Probably more receivers than running backs, unless you had top-of-the-line running back. Like the Florida Atlantic guy, you might get drafted. But, again, that position is it's replaceable, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's really drafting running backs at that level anymore. Ito Smith is a special case. He's one of the conference's best running backs that we've had in, you know, 5-6 years.
Consistent.
Yeah, and he's consistent. He can do a lot of things. He's multiple. He can run between the tackles, he has speed, and he can catch. He's a good receiver. So that's why he got drafted. He got drafted against a couple of other guys from P5 schools that had some pretty good resumes there. And I mean, again, you're not going to get a whole lot of just regular running backs between the tackles, you know, first and second down kind of back guys drafted. And then receivers, and you're going to get top of the line receivers. Those guys are going to go. The Courtland Sutton, right? Everybody thought he was intriguing, but there's a lot of questions about him. He got drafted. He's at this level. And Richie James, you know, he got drafted also.
Yeah, and Richie James, I think he went to a good spot in with the 49ers. Mm-hmm. He's going to be competing against Trent Taylor, who went there last year.
Yeah.
He got drafted by them. So it'll be fun to watch that competition. I think he's good enough to be starting this next season.
Yeah,
or at least get some playing time.
Yeah, and then, like, Corey Robertson, the guy from Southern Miss, he did not get drafted. And, you know, so when we're looking at our squad and we're like, who's going to get drafted here? Well, those are the kinds of guys, like, all right, quarterback. I'm not really, I think Mason Fine at every level, including the NFL, if he gets that far, has and will face the same issues. They're like, oh, he's too small, he's too slight. And they were they're looking at guy like Baker Mayfield. That was a question mark on him, right? Because he's 6 foot tall. They're like, I don't know. Some people were even saying like, you could have got Baker later. You didn't need to draft him number one. Those same kind of things are going to be the knocks on Mason Fine. And so add to that the G5 stuff.
Level, yeah.
So. Yeah. So I don't look. Mason Fine's probably not going to get drafted, and that's not going to be surprising. So we can, no matter what he does, and that's going to be it's something he's faced at every level, right? He was a record-setting high school quarterback, and almost no one wanted to give him a scholarship, right?
Well, but somebody's going to point at Alex Magoo from FIU,
who's like 6'2", 6'3", or something like that. It's a right, size right. thing, yeah.
But did nothing at FIU.
Yeah, I mean. I'm gonna say I don't always agree with it, and nobody's saying that NFL guys know what they're talking about. Like all of them, we've seen a lot of bad picks throughout history there. But what I'm saying is that he needs. Yeah, I mean, because a smart team is gonna say nobody's gonna draft this guy. We'll just pick him up as an undrafted free agent, right? That is a smart play. Why waste a draft pick on a guy that you can get without drafting him, right?
Yeah, nobody else is gonna draft him.
Yeah, so. So then maybe Guyton, right? If he continues on this tear that he's on, you know, maybe a defensive back. But you're looking across the board there. Keyshawn McClain was probably our most draftable defensive back in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I'd have to agree there.
Yeah, it's size and production. But, I mean, you know, he got a undrafted free agent deal instead of being drafted. We don't have any linebackers that are setting the conference on fire right now. Like it's going to be a while before we get anybody drafted, and that's not a bad thing because again, what are the three parts here? Get guys, get them in, develop them, make them better football players, and then win games. We've already won a division title. We competed for a Conference USA championship, and you know we're gonna get into this later when we talk about the roster, but that's. That's what we're doing, and then as a sideline of that, we move these guys on to the next level so they can become, you know, they can take their football careers to the next level, become head football coaches at, you know, a high school level or assistant coaches at the college football level. We're doing that. Guys are, you know, they're getting out of this program, and they're moving on to become coaches and things, and that's fine. If they're not becoming NFLers, that's okay. That doesn't mean we're not developing these players.
Yeah, and we also have to remember that just a few seasons ago, we were one of the worst colleges, probably of all time, one of the worst colleges in NCAA, and so they have a starting point. That's the dweller, the seller. That's where we're coming from here. Now we have to, you know, start from, can we beat a FCS squad? Then can we beat a Conference USA team? The next step, P5, and at that point, you can start talking about who's draftable off the team. So I think we are moving there. You know, you mentioned Jalen Guyton. But right now, I want to win a freaking bowl game. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, and so I don't think it's a big deal to not really worry about the draft. Like, I know it's kind of a thing. Like, North Texas is going on, you know, however many years without having a draft pick. It's a deal, right? It's something that to be concerned about. But I think it's something that takes care of itself when you develop a program the right way. When you start getting guys in that are quality football players, that take direction, that take coaching, and you know have a drive to improve themselves, you know, also. They're just, you know, good guys. They become NFL-type players because when you become a professional, is it in any field, in any industry, right? A professional has to have a, you know, take direction, be improvable, right? And, you know, work on themselves, be self-motivated. Whether, you know, like I said, whether they're a teacher, whether they do whatever it is that you do, Aldo, nobody knows. I think he just does this. And, you know, like, I know whatever it is that I do. Same kind of deal. And you listen it, right?
Yeah, listen and point. So, yeah, I mean... if you've got a draftable player on your team, then that means you're winning consistently. And at this point, we're not winning consistently.
Yeah, and so I think it's going to change. I mean, I can see Guyton getting drafted. I can see him. And here's the other part. I can see Jeff Wilson being on an NFL team. And that is really what you care about. Like, the draft, man, okay, there's busts all the time in the draft. I mean, look at the guys the Cowboys got. Tavon Austin got drafted in the first round once upon a time. And now he got traded by, for a sixth-round pick. It's, you know, what is better, that or, you know,
Jimmy Zolowale,
yeah,
who's been on an NFL roster for years.
Yeah, like who's having the better time? I mean, I guess probably early on when Tavon Austin got a big, you know, signing bonus and all the first round money.
Contract.
Yeah, that's a lot of what it is. I wouldn't worry about it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not worried about it. I don't think anybody else is worried about it. I think they all know that if they continue on the process, that they're continue on the road. You know, continue to proceed that way, the way they're going and building this roster. We'll get a guy drafted, and then, you know, that'll be the end of it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, at a bigger picture, you know, it's good that Conference USA is putting in not just guys into the NFL, because I know that La Tech had a couple of first round picks a few years back, but mm-hmm. I don't even remember their names. But now they're not only getting these guys onto NFL teams on draft day, but they're notable guys like Marcus Davenport. There's a ton of conversation around him. Will Hernandez, there was a ton of conversation around him. And Mike White as well. You know, Boston Scott, the running back from Louisiana Tech. I have no idea why he got drafted and not Jeff Wilson. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, I had this list on ConferenceUSAReport.com. I think it was like all the Conference USA players that were drafted. I listed them all out and whatever. And I think the thing you can think about it here, of the 34 picks, the breakdown by school since 2014, right? I counted then, since that's basically the modern version of Conference USA. La Tech, 8 draft picks. Western Kentucky, 5. Southern Miss, 4. FAU, 4. Rice, 2. UAB 2, Marshall 2, Middle Tennessee 2, Tulane 1, UTEP 1, UTSA 1, FIU 1, Charlotte 1. This is all before this year where it's all been added to. And I think if you look at the top 4 there, right? Tech, Western Kentucky, Southern Miss, and FAU. One thing you remember is that La Tech and Western Kentucky have been the best 2 teams in this conference for the past 4 years, right? And that goes back to support what I just said. That if you build a good team, you're going to get draftable players, and that takes care of itself, right? Look, lo and behold, the 2 best teams in the league over the past 4 years have had NFL players. Wow. Southern Miss and FAU, those are both in talent-rich areas, right? Southern Miss is in Mississippi, where they get a lot of linemen and dudes there. And then, you know, Florida Atlantic's in Florida. Same thing. And we've always been saying that Florida Atlantic has had really quality dudes. And they just haven't been able. Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna add to this list a little bit later, and we'll figure it out. So that is the end of that, I guess, conversation. Here's some other notables: Mike White to the Cowboys. Mike White, of course, the quarterback of Western Kentucky. He's gonna be on the Cowboys, looking to fill that third spot. I mean, obviously, if he becomes like an amazing dude, and you're like, wow, this guy should start over Dak Prescott, they'll give him the starting job. But he's likely competing for the third spot along with Dalton Sturm, former quarterback of UTSA. So
I like Mike White. He's good.
He holds on to the ball a lot. You know, he kind of gets some narrow vision there, and he stares down his target. But he's going to be coached by Kellen Moore, right? You know, another former quarterback great, another guy that had a lot of stats, is a little smaller, had a cup of coffee in the NFL, and is now a coach. I mean,
was he Boise State?
Yeah, Boise State guy, man. I mean, I think, was it you on our super secret Slack chat that was like, oh man, we're going to get drafted? I was like, at best, he's going to be like Kellen Moore, who had the same problem. Kellen Moore was like an all-time college football great, and I think he got drafted, or he didn't get drafted. One of those two, I forget. But it was like super late. My point is that Dalton Sturm, Mike White, a couple of Conference USA quarterbacks on an NFL roster, and at least one of them will be the third string quarterback for the Cowboys. And it might be both. Was the other guy, Cooper Rush, backup guy? I mean, they might say, you know what, Coop, you suck. take a hike. And then they put these two guys out there. We don't know. I mean, that's the deal, is that there's a couple of Conference USA guys here. We already mentioned Richie James to the Niners, Ito Smith to the Falcons, Joel Iye Buniwe to the Bears. He was a linebacker for Western Kentucky the past couple of years. And then Will Hernandez to the Giants. And there's a couple other guys from Western Kentucky. They got some undrafted free agent deals here and there, hither and thither.
Man, the Giants, they're going to be running it to the left all day, Saquon Barkley. It's going to be fun.
Do it. I think what's notable, I think I tweeted about this because, like, what was it, Courtland Sutton? Courtland Sutton got drafted. Was it Quinn? Was it Trey Quinn? The dude, the other guy from the Southern Methodist school. It was Mr. Irrelevant. I forgot what I tweeted, but they were basically like, look at these three schools, they're pretty good here. They had like multiple picks in the draft. And what's notable about that is that North Texas has played those schools in the last 3 years. We played, obviously, at Southern Methodist every year. We had Western Kentucky like twice in the last 3 years. We didn't get them last year, thankfully. We're always getting them. And, you know, they put a receiver in the NFL. And then, you know, this year they put a quarterback in the NFL. So all those times you're like...
Trent Taylor, if anybody was wondering.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, you know, I think Louisiana Tech, same thing, right? Louisiana Tech, they had a couple of receivers, Carlos Henderson.
Carlos Henderson, yeah. and Taiwan Taylor. Maybe I've got those names reversed. Anyway,
yeah, they're all of them. They're those guys. And then the other part was Southern Miss. They had two of their corners. I was like corner and safety got drafted. The same corner safety duo that got sliced up by North Texas on the way to a win in Hattiesburg. You know, so if you want to feel good, like when you look at this draft, you're like, oh, we didn't get drafted. Oh, man. Hey, all these dudes that are getting these contracts, they got sliced up by North Texas, right? Marcus Davenport and UTSA sliced up. Coaches at Bama. But when they're going through that tape, hopefully they're looking at, you know, Mason Fine slicing them up.
And we got to remember, this is McCarney's best class that he had while at North Texas.
So I feel good about it. We beat up on at least two of them, Southern Miss and UTSA. We did lose all the damn time to Western Kentucky, and we have not beat Southern Miss, Southern Methodist. But we're getting to that. We'll get around to it.
It'll happen.
Yeah, we did put up a lot of points against them. That's one thing. I think they're one of their linemen, right? The guy that was giving us trouble, he got drafted too. The Ponies.
Yeah. What's his name?
Lawler. There you go. It comes to me. So that leads me to this question that was asked by good friend Billy Sierra on the Gummy and Green board a couple weeks ago. And I was like, you know, I got to write a blog post about this. But he asked, all right, year three of Seth Luttrell, how do you feel like the roster looks for you? Are you impressed by it? I think his official question was, how impressed are you? Which is assuming that you're impressed, I guess. Unless, I guess you could be negative impressed. But I'll put it to you. How impressed are you by this roster?
I mean, it's all relative. I'm way impressed compared to what it was. You know, we had an offense a couple years back and in McCartney's last few years that was putting up, 4 yards per play? Mm-hmm. That's now up to over 6 yards per play.
Mm-hmm.
Just going from 1 year to the next, and it's improved. It improved in the second year. Using, you know, replacing a lot of the players that were there before, or developing the players that are already there. I'm impressed the way he's turned around that 1-win team into, you know, what was the year before? 8-win team and a 9-win team, or a 7-win team and a 9-win team?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
So I'm impressed from that standpoint. In terms of the defense, we keep coming up with the same issues every year. The linebacker position, questions about that. They brought in a defensive scheme, the 3-3-5, in order to mask some of those issues. And I don't know. It's not a push. You know, the defense isn't as so bad that the improvement in the offense doesn't, you know, overweigh it. So I'm impressed with what he's done in just these three recruiting cycles now.
Yeah, I think again, and at the risk of repeating ourselves, but I know nobody's listened to this episode every episode, right? And if you have, I'm sorry, but if you haven't, it is all new. When you, when Seth Luttrell got this roster, right? There's a pressure to succeed right away, right? And, but there's also pressure to build long term. You got to get a nice foundation, but you have to have a shiny front door, right? It needs to have a little curb appeal, right? You can't just be like, well, we're awful still. I mean, you could. It is possible to do that, and I think some schools do that. I think there was a little bit more pressure to improve this team right now. And maybe that some of that was, was it like internal pressure? Seth Luttrell saying, this is how I'm going to coach. I'm not going to just do this other way. But they did put a lot of things down for the future, right? They've started a high school quarterback. I mean, high school freshman quarterback, right? Pretty much immediately while they had Alec Morris on the roster.
Alabama transfer.
Yeah.
Alec Morris.
Yeah. And they tried to play as many guys as they could that were young and, you know, build the foundation for the future. And it didn't quite work out. That first year offense was terrible. And some of that was a function of how bad the roster was for playing this kind of system. But the fact that they stuck with the system, you know, stuck through the growing pains, shows that it's a good coach, and it worked out, right? The next season, they got to expand the offense a little bit, and lo and behold, the best offense in North Texas history by a lot of measures, right? By total yards, yards per play, yards per, you know, game, you know, this, that, and the other, passing yards got blown on the water. It was one of the top rushing offenses ever. I think it was like third ever. I forget. A lot of progress, and then you can point to that and say, wow, well, look at that. Well, what about the defense? It's easy to do that, right? And it's what we have done. But they're not done building it, right? You need, especially at this level, North Texas doesn't have, hey, come, you know, make North Texas great again kind of deal that you can do at Texas, right? You look at Tom Herman over there. He can say, hey, remember when we were good? You remember when we won a national title? You remember Vince Young? You remember Ricky Williams? Let's do that again, right?
Well, speaking of, here they are. You can shake his hand.
Yeah, here he is right here. You can't do that. At Florida State, right, they could do that when they switched coaches. When Bowden retired, you could say, hey, look, let's make Florida State like it was in 1993 when we were winning Heisman trophies and winning national titles. Right? Florida, same thing. Hey, let's build us back to what we were. At North Texas, you can say, hey, let's make us a ranked team like we were with Hayden Fridays. Oh, you don't know who Hayden Fry is? Let me show you who Hayden, you know what I mean? Like, it's real complicated. Anybody who's taking marketing, you know that it's a little bit different. It's more difficult to sell a complicated, subtle message than it is to be like, bam, right? Here's a cool thing. If you just put up a Batman symbol on a poster and say, like, June 3rd, you're like, oh, crap, Batman movie's coming out. I'm going to watch it, even if it's Ben Affleck, right? But if it's a new superhero, you're like, what symbol is that? I don't know. What are we doing? Who is this? You know what I mean? All that to say is it's a little bit more difficult to get the kind of players that will change a program immediately at this level and for this program. At best case scenario, we get guys like Marcus Davenport, guys that were coachable, improvable, and weren't coveted by other programs. I think he got there. He was like a string bean. He's like 6'7". He's like a basketball player. They developed him. They turned him into, you know, a first rounder. And some of that's just like luck. He just decided to go there. That's what we need. And I think at best we develop an offensive line, and we're doing that, right? Last recruiting class, not this one, but the one before that, we got a bunch of linemen, and like one or two have seen the field. But we're not gonna reap those benefits until they're seniors, until they're redshirt seniors or something, you know, when we really get to see them play and we're like, wow, look at this offensive line. We have evidence to support this, right? I've talked about it before. Mike Leach at Washington State, he came in his first year, offensive line was awful. It was a leaky offensive line. The quarterback was getting sacked all the time. By 4 or 5 years later, it is and was one of the strengths of the program. And, you know, they're like, wow, this is amazing. Their offensive line is able to, like, yeah, they had to develop them. You had to get them. You can't just get 20 guys. Like, all right, let's get 20 offensive linemen at various levels of experience. Like, you just only get the freshman or maybe a JUCO guy. And you develop them, and then you get, you know, four more and stick them behind those guys, and then four more, stick them behind those guys. And then eventually you have the 18 at various levels of experience and ability and development. And, you know, that's your offensive line. That's building a program. And I think North Texas is doing that. And we haven't seen that happen just yet. And we probably won't even next year. It should be a little bit better. But we're not going to see that for a while. The question is, on the defensive line side, you kind of need the same kind of thing. And I don't know that our coaches have the experience. Like, you can see the evidence that they know a guy that can play. Mason Fine, this guy can play. Let's bring him in. And then he's a Conference USA Player of the Year, right? We don't really have that experience. Like, nobody on the staff has said, look at me. I've been part of great defenses. I've been a part of developing great defenses. Hey, look, I'm also, you know, like, one of my mentors was one of the greatest defensive coaches of all time, right? The opposite, you can say that on the other side of the ball. Mike Leach, offensive innovator, one of the best offensive coaches of all time. You know, he coached me, or I played under him, or, you know, like, I was his, you know, wide receiver coach. On the other side, we're like, all right, what do we got? It's like, well, I played on the Louisiana, ULM squad that upset a team and gave up a lot of points and kind of sacked a lot, you know. Like, yeah, it's like, what? Okay, yeah, kind of. You know, so we don't have that. And I know he says, Seth Luttrell says he believes in our defensive staff. And, I mean, sure, a lot of coaching staff believes in the guys they hired. It just, we don't have that same, I don't have that same trust in them, that when they pick a guy and they stick him there, like, this guy's going to be good because here's all this chain of experience that comes down to point to this guy. So you know, our defense is not that good, right? But so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I think all we, if we could just get a stud linebacker in there that could make, you know, second team All-Conference USA in his first year playing, I think a lot of our woes would be fixed. We've got a defense that is predicated upon speed. You know, you're going to see an undersized undersized linebackers because we need guys that are going to be, you know, flying all over the field. Because, you know, a 3-3-5, that means we're going to have a lot of linebackers on the outside trying to pass rush. They're coming from really far away. And because they're undersized, it's tough for them, you know? So a guy like Wheeler, like we had last year, the past couple of years, he was disruptive. He just didn't have quite the speed, so he wasn't disruptive as consistently. Same thing with Agia, he can get juked by a quarterback. So we're, I think, at least a player away on defense. The defensive line has been doing okay. We just need more speed. And that might be the downfall of the coaching staff on the defensive side, is not being able to bring a guy with speed, enough speed. And I think they did that this past offseason, is they brought a lot of linebackers, or at least some defensive backs with pretty good speed, like 4.5, sub-4.5 speed.
Yeah, I mean, a lot to react to there. I think we have missed a linebacker, and some of that has just been unlucky, right? We tried to get, I mean, look at Jalen Guyton. He's a transfer, JUCO transfer. If we missed there, then where are we on offense last year? It's probably good still, but not as good as it was, right? Same thing with linebacker. I think we missed on a couple linebackers. We tried to transfer, took a flyer out on a couple of them. They didn't make it. They didn't qualify, this, that, and the other. And especially on defensive line, right? Bryce English didn't play. We were expecting him to be a big part of the defense last season. He wasn't. And, you know, that has a chain effect because all of defense is reacting. Like, you need more athletes on defense because you're behind, you know, you're second all the time. The offensive player knows what the play is. And, you know, they're executing it. So you're reacting to it the way they set up, what, you know, what they're doing, where they're moving. And so you need to be, if the guy runs a 4-2 and executes well, you need to run a 4-1. I know that's almost impossible, but you have to be able to have makeup speed and catch up speed and quick reaction, this, that, and the other. Be bigger and stronger and blow it all up. So it's harder to find those athletes because everybody's looking for those athletes, right? Everybody's looking for a guy that can blow up an offensive line, right? Like, we put two guys on him, he knocked them both on their ass, and then he tackled our quarterback. Like, wow, what a great defensive genius. Like, yeah, he just said, go get him. You know, he didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
So they've missed, and I think they're trying to build up some of that now. They're trying to get some speed, and then when you have speed, that's great, but then you also need smarts. You need them to develop. Again, that's where you build all of it there. So they're fast, as fast as they can be, quick reaction, but they're also like mentally quick, and they know where the ball is going to go, so that they don't have to cover 40 yards, you know, to make the tackle. They cover 5 because they knew where to be. And that's how you have an amazing defense. So I guess, I think on the post I said I give them like a B-. They miss big on defense. We lack size and depth at the linebacker position. It's huge. Everything you said is true. We've done great on offense. Wide receiver, there's first-line starters, and there's guys developing, right? Like last year, we had a freshman really contribute. You know, we expect, like, was it Tyler Wilson 2 years ago, right? Freshman came in and did well. We were excited about him. And then he dropped out of the program. We had another freshman step up, did well, right? And we don't really miss Tyler Wilson anymore. That shows you that we had other guys ready to go, right? And we also developed some of the guys, the first line guys. And I'm excited about the new guys stepping up. Was that Ogun Macon, that dude? Greg White got to sit. He's going to be there.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have depth along the thing. So if somebody goes down, we're not just like, oh, what do we do now? Bryce English went down, and we're like, okay, shift everybody over, and hopefully that solves everything, you know? We need more of, like, guy goes down, it's okay because we have a guy here, right? He's not as good, or maybe, you know, it's not a 100% replacement, but it's not. Hey, I know we
I know we signed you from FCS school, and you played safety because that's how big you are, but why don't you play inside linebacker?
Yeah, it's not like that, yeah. And they've not done a good job on that, but they have done well on one side, and that's made up for it. Again, even with a not super amazing defense, one that was pretty terrible on third down, they were great on first and second down, and they won games, right? They're a winning team. All the whole, the comprised whole, the compiled whole, won games, right? They won all their games at home. Even some of them required a little more offensive effort and amazing play, but they won. And I think that's important to remember, that this next year, all those defensive line dudes that we lost, we're going to miss them a lot. But we're trying to replace those guys, trying to plug those gaps, and improve our team speed here and there. And again, that was some of the freshmen, right? Tyreek Davis, I'm excited about him. A couple of those other guys that we've picked up are going to be new Tyreek Davises in certain spots, and maybe fill in with the JUCO guy that we've shown. With Eric Jenkins, right? I always forget his name after I don't think I'm on for a while. The other corner. The one that stepped in and started over Eric Jenkins.
Muhammad?
Kyrie Muhammad has been there. He's a safety. And I'm excited about Kyrie Muhammad, too. He's been in the program for a while. I think what we want from this program.
Keemon Hall.
Yeah, Keemon Hall. There you go. I knew you'd think of it. Here's the thing. 2013. You remember the 2013 season, right? Everybody remembers the 2013 season. That defensive line was really good, but it didn't have any NFLers on it, right? Was it Orr, Boutwell? I think it was Sarge on that team. They were good. They were good. And they, I mean, if you watch some of that thing, when they ran up against NFL-type talent, they didn't do so well. But when they played against Conference USA talent, they were dominating. You know, they won a bowl game. And they were the start of a really good, dominating defense. And a lot of those guys, we developed them. I think Austin Orr was a developed guy. You know, he comes in, we make him good. He's like Andy Flusche. If you give me four or five Andy Flusches on this team, right, just every year we have like one or two. Another, here's another guy that's been here for a while, developed, works hard. He's amazing at this level, right? Maybe he doesn't go on to the NFL, but he's just a solid guy here. We'll be really good on defense. Four or five guys like that will be really good.
Yeah, and you know, just to go back into 2012 as well, you had that group that you just mentioned, and Adrian Awesome and Will Wright. So we had a pretty solid freaking group of linebackers that we haven't had since they graduated.
Yeah, I mean, and so like if you look, again, if you look at our defense last season, the way they played Iowa, like you saw Flusche get into the backfield. You saw the way that they played against SMU. Again, Flusche get into the backfield. Just a couple of the guys, and I'm forgetting all their names right now because I'm trying to think through my point, so I apologize if you're like a super fan of any one of those guys. But my point is that these relatively unheralded guys, like senior dudes, junior, senior, or you know, fifth year seniors, they make plays. They are the kinds that's the program. That's the glue that makes a program there. It is not a Marcus Davenport all the time, right? That's a game changer. That's the one that takes Andy Flusche and then makes it unleashes him. It's like, wow, Andy Flusche, who would be a pretty good linebacker for Conference USA, I mean, a defensive lineman, when you stick an NFLer next to him, all of a sudden, you know, it's dominating. Like, wow, they look amazing. Yeah, because you have an NFLer next to you. So you got to build a program with that, and I think that's the goal. Get enough dudes like that, build them up to the program, and turn them into really good Conference USA defensive linemen. Then you could worry about the game changers later. Right, you can't just try to hit home runs the whole time. You gotta build a program with glue guys like that. 4 or 5 year senior defensive linemen, the guys that can come in, do a job. Then we wouldn't be relying on a Bryce English and saying, hopefully this guy comes in and you know requires double teams. Like, we don't need that because we have guys that can come in, do a job. We don't need to be the best defense in the league. We just need to be good enough, right? Good enough to get stopped. Good enough to get off the field.
Average.
Yeah, because we have the second best offense in the league, right? We don't need to be the best defense. Just good enough. Don't make them. We don't need 58 points every game, right? We need 30 to 40. And if we're getting 30 to 40, we should be winning every game. We just need the defense to step up enough to do that. So we just got to be good enough.
Yeah, pre-2017 season, I was thinking that our offense was going to score about 28 points a game, and I think defense, I was thinking they were going to allow, I think I said 32, but I was pleasantly surprised, more than pleasantly surprised with the offense, the turnaround that they had, but I was super disappointed with the defense allowing 35 points a game. So were they 35-35 split between the offense and defense?
Talking about last year?
Yeah. Points
per game. Yeah. I mean,
so what I want to get into in the next season is just, you know, dial it down on the defensive side. Just if the offense maintains its pace or gets better, just, you know, that third down. Don't let them convert that third and 45 for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I always remember that in 2012, that was the deal with that defense. It seems like they were right there, and then they clicked, and all of a sudden they were great. You know, I'm hoping that happens again, right? It's like they're there. They're two-thirds of the way there, right? Like, literally. And then they click. They've had turnover here, so I can't really expect that. And hopefully, again, you get guys that have been in the program 3-4 years, 2-3 years, instead of just 1 year. You know, I'm a JUCO guy. I showed up at fall camp, and now I'm going to get into the system. But you have guys there a longer period of time in that same system that – there's less confusion, right? And they can make adjustments on the fly. Deeper, more complicated adjustments on the fly, right? That's what you're hoping for. And those are the kinds of things that win you games, right? That you can stop a guy on third and whatever, third and two. And you don't just need an amazing pass rush or something. So that's what we're hoping for there. Like, you want consistency. And that, I think that is a good reason to keep our guy now, Troy Reffitt. That is a definite reason to keep him in there, not just, you know, yank him, get him out of there, because then you're going to have to start a whole new system. You're going to keep the same kind of system, just a different coach?
Well, and I think they went through a change, too, between
Eckler?
When Eckler was here, because I was talking to Keyshawn McClain, and he said that, yeah, there was a change between systems, or at least play calling, not systems, play calling between year one and year two. So there was a second learning curve there.
Yeah.
When it came to the backfield.
Yeah, and so, again, you want consistency. And, you know, I think they're getting that, and I feel good about that. Like, let's take a little quick temperature right now. How do you feel about this team?
Good.
Good. I agree. Yeah, I mean, I agree. We talked about this before, is that when you look at last season, you just look at the numbers, right? Like, it's kind of like when you round up, you know, it's 4.9 gets rounded up to five, and 4.8 gets rounded up to 5. 4.6 gets rounded up to 5. But 6, the difference between, you know, 4.6 and 4.9 is, you know, 0.3, obviously. There is a difference, is what I'm saying. And I think that you can kind of see that, was it 9 wins, whatever it was? They were good wins. You're looking at that like, wow, 9 is a nice, big, strong number. But we almost lost to Army. We almost lost to UTSA. We almost lost to La Tech. We almost lost to Old Dominion. And then there's one other one in there we almost lost to. So then...
UAB.
Yeah, UAB. We almost lost to UAB. So then you're like, wow, that big, strong, sturdy number doesn't look so great anymore. It's more like the 4.6 or 4.5 than it was the 4.9, if you get my terrible analogy here. There are some weaknesses here, and we know it's on the defensive side, but there's a little bit on the offensive side too.
And that's what I mean by consistent wins. We didn't get any consistent wins last year. But on the flip side is that before, you know, these what you would consider 50-50 games, we were losing the year before, which this past season, we were winning those 50-50 games. So I guess going forward, we need to get out of a 50-50 game, you know, not be a 50-50 game, be a somebody that's favored.
I can see that. There was a lot of inconsistency on the offense, like from quarter to quarter. I think I kept saying throughout the season, we got two good quarters in us. And when those two good quarters, they're great quarters. And I think it was emblematic in the UTSA game, right? First quarter, just came out, punched him in the mouth, 13 straight points. Fourth quarter, had like 2 touchdowns, including the 75-yard drive, right? Middle quarters, not so great. A lot of 3 and outs. I think there was an interception. There was maybe 2 interceptions. And, you know, Mason Fine was sacked a bunch of times. Okay. The Southern Miss game, right? Went over there. That was a great win. Like, it was at 3rd and 4th quarters. Did amazing. First half looked pretty terrible, right? Pretty awful. They got to get better. I mean, we can't really expect them to be like, oh, they're going to score 14 points every quarter. It's going to be amazing, full throttle. Some quarters are going to be, you know, just spending also on situation. But you want them to look better more of the time. And that, I think that's a natural progression there. That's a growth. Because if you look at the first season, they didn't score any touchdowns. They would have 2 good plays and then fall back one, right? Get a holding penalty, or they would have 3 good plays and then throw an interception or get sacked or something like that. So it was not even a consistent drive. They're not consistent on the drive. Last year, you're like, wow, great drive, bad drive, right? They're not having consistent drives. You know what I mean? Like, they're able to build a whole drive now. Progress, yay. But then they're not be able to build a whole game, put all that together. So the next step is like, cool, we're able to do that. We know, like, you know, putting a drive together is no big thing anymore, right? Where it was in year one. By year three, we're expecting them to go down the field, score a touchdown once or twice. We'd like to see them convert on third down and convert short yardage run games, or maybe they're not running it, but maybe just convert short yardage, because that was a big issue. So that's the next step. That's the next area of growth. Same thing with the defense, right? That's the other part of the defense and why we have hope for the defense. The offense, year one, pretty terrible converting third downs. Year two, pretty decent converting third downs, but really the bulk of the damage was done in first and second. Short yardage was trouble. Defense, we're hoping they make some progress there, right? They learn from everything. They're all getting better. Everything works out. So I agree with you on consistency. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to, you know, add on to what you're saying. But, you know, we don't expect him to score every drive, but at least, you know, don't go three and out several drives in a row. Get beyond 50-yard line before you got to putt. Things like that, you know, move the ball.
Yeah. I mean, things happen, right? The other team is actively trying to stop you from doing what you want to do, right? So it's not – there's no shame in you know, not having a successful drive, a scoring drive every time. But being able to control the ball and do what you want, like if you're going to say, we're going to go three and out, but that's because on first down, we're going to go for it, right? We're going to try this, you know, deep ball because we're going to test them. And then maybe, you know, we run it. We're being aggressive. We are controlling the thing so we can plan for it. Like this is the one we might go three and out because we're going to, you know, go deep on this first drive and be a little aggressive, but we're okay. You don't want it to happen to you, you know? We're like, okay, we're going to control this drive, really eat the clock. Here's a nice, you know, safe play. First down, we're going to just throw a short one and then the guy drops it or something. Like that, now you're off schedule, not because you planned to be, but just because you couldn't execute. There's a subtle difference, but that's a difference. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think this team's going to be okay, and I really could see it. I really could see it being a worse year and still being improved as a team.
You mean statistically worse?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's that rounding up kind of thing, right? I think they could be a better team, like a more consistent offense, but I also could see them losing some games because there are some good teams on there. I think Louisiana Tech will be good again. I think Florida Atlantic is still on the schedule. And I also think, here's the other part, is that Jeff Wilson, you know, the guy that's on the Niners now, right? NFL-type player. He was the best player on the team. He was the offense. He was the guy that could make a play. He could turn a loss into a gain. He could turn, you know, a five-yard gain into a 50-yard touchdown. And we have some guys like that on the team, but they really rely on Mason Fine. And so we're really basically asking Mason Fine to be a game changer. Like, Mason, can you turn five-yard losses into five-yard gains? Like either throwing it or getting out of a play or doing this and that? Because now it's on him. Now he's not just a young up-and-comer. Now he's the junior three-year starter Conference USA Player of the Year, right? If it's NCAA 14, he has a star under him now, right? He has the glowing star.
Yeah, and you make a good point because with Jeff Wilson, we were a pretty balanced team. We were 50% passing, 50% rushing. And going forward, you know, in order to maintain that balance on offense, Nick Smith is going to have to show something, you know, DeAndre Torrey. And if not, you know, is not, you know, it could hurt us where we just can't run the ball. But at the same time, can Graham Harrell change the play calling where we use that to our advantage, where we're now 60% passing, because that includes passes in the backfield or dump offs to the running back. Can the coaches adapt to the change of losing a guy like Jeff Wilson?
Yeah, I think it's always a misnomer on like the balance part. Like I think Seth Luttrell, I think he's been on a couple podcasts where he talks about this. He believes in running the ball. He thinks that you can succeed by turning and handing the ball off. Mike Leach and, to an extent, Graham Harrell are like, they believe that you throw it, you know? You can throw it, probably. And I think there are certain points where throwing the ball 2 yards and handing the ball off for 2 yards are the same thing. And it really doesn't make a difference. I think if you have a guy as good as Jeff Wilson, you might as well turn the ball and hand the ball to him.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, we're on the same page here. There is balance in like getting the ball to different guys, and I think North Texas last season did a really good job of that. Was it Mike Law would have starting out the season, right, throwing the ball to Jalen Guyton. Everybody's like, holy crap, we got to guard this guy. And then we started throwing the ball to the other dudes. They started picking up more yardage. By the end of the season, Jalen Guyton wasn't getting big yards. Mike Law was, right? And Rico Bussey he had a big game in the ball game. And then Turner Smiley, he had a big game. Was it against Army, right?
Army, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want. that's balance, right? It's not just throwing passing. It's also guys, the X receiver, the, you know, A receiver, the Y receiver, and, you know, the running back, F. Are they all getting touches? Are they all getting, you know, getting plays? I think in the bowl game, our F wasn't doing too much. We were not running the ball very well. And, you know, they kind of made us a little bit one-dimensional. We were just throwing it to Bussy. Couldn't get anybody else the ball. Trying to get the ball to Law. I think we turned the ball over there. But, I mean, really, it kind of depends on the line. And what I was saying, I think other teams, they know the book on North Texas. And this is a silly book. It's every book for every quarterback. But they know how to, you know, check the box. It's to really come after Mason Fine. Marcus Davenport got into the backfield because he's a beast, and he messed him up. And that shut down the North Texas offense. Troy and Florida Atlantic and Rice. Last three games of the season, I think there were as many sacks as there were in the first, whatever, ten games.
10 games, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Rice was getting into backfield, sacking Mason Fine a bunch. And, you know, like, offensive line coach, he was yelling at him, like, what? That's just not unacceptable. Two sacks in the same drive, that's unacceptable. And it is. But they didn't really learn too much about it, or they were just unable to defend the onslaught, the change. So this offseason, the spring, the summer, fall camp, they have a lot of time to focus on that very thing. They're developing linemen. They're developing new plays. But that's number one. If we come out week one and get sacked, if there's any sacks that first week, I'm going to be a little bit upset. Yeah, especially if they come the same kind of way. But yeah, I mean that's the thing there about that whole situation is we are sackable.
One of my biggest complaints is from last year, and I know we had a lot of discussion about this on the podcast and in Slack, was scripted plays where, you know, they're going to run the ball against this formation, whether it's the veer or the inside zone, and you know it's going to come. They've seen the film. Other team's seen the film. And we have a three-yard loss, like against UTSA, where I'm screaming my head off, why are they running the veer on this? Why are they running the veer? And then they finally, you know, start passing it to a guy like Michael Long. So scripted plays, if they had some sort of misdirection where, you know, they're making the other team, you know, guess twice about, okay, is the run coming because we're in this formation, or are they going to do a play action or fake handoff and then throw it over the middle kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean,
basically, it's coaching. Is coaching going to get better next year?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I know we've had this discussion before where, like, I mean, I still think that our coaching is pretty decent. Like, I still think that from what I could tell, you know, I'm just a guy. But from what I can tell about our ability to game plan, like, you can see, hey, we're trying to exploit them here. You know, we're trying to get at them. I think we are pretty good offensively. I think there's some execution things that are not so great. But I also think that it's more like Graham Harrell believing in his guys and not, Maybe too much, but I think that's the way to go, is to believe in him, then to say, you know what, you ain't gonna do nothing. Let me just sit you down, right? So I don't want to say I'm agreeing to disagree, but I'm just gonna. I think maybe you and I just look at that the same result. I think we look at the causes differently. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Graham Harrell's growing as a QB, as a coordinator. And, you know, I think he does all right. I'm never like, this was a bad play because he's a bad coordinator. I think it's one of those things to me, like, if that gets the yards, then he's a great coordinator. And there's been some times I'm like, what are we? Oh, man, what a great play. But then, you know, other times I can see what he was thinking. Or I can see where the play was going. And the other team just makes a play. And, I mean,
sure.
Yeah. But I know a lot of people are like, they have said about him, what is he doing? I just don't like it. And I can see it. I can see sometimes you're just like, why would we run this, you know, fake handoff, spin around kind of thing, and just leave Mason Fine to get sacked out there. But you watch the play. I'm talking about the bowl game, the first play of the game. Our lineman falls down, and he doesn't make the block. And so then Mason Fine is out there on an island. Is that Graham Harrell's fault? Sort of. I mean, maybe don't call that play. Something that could happen, like something a little bit simpler, a little bit more executable. Maybe coach Mason Fine and not fumble. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's.
I mean, I think all the factors that we've talked about today are a part of that. You know, the consistency and execution, having the right guys in terms of recruiting, having good talent on there, and then making the right call.
Yeah. I mean, so you look back at, was it 2 years ago at UTSA when Mason Fine had four turnovers? I think the team had four turnovers. Mason Fine had, what, three interceptions and a fumble? He might have had four turnovers by himself. Some of those play calls were great play calls. Like, I think there was a little screen pass. He overthrows Jeff Wilson, interception. If he hits Jeff Wilson on it, he had two linemen ready to destroy that linebacker. Jeff turns it upfield. Touchdown, probably. I feel like it's a touchdown. There was another one. He was throwing a swing pass. If he just completes it, it's at the very least a yard gain. But he throws it behind him, fumble. You know, like what are we doing? Yeah,
slipped out of his hand. Yeah.
And so then are those? Do we look up at the booth? I think he's on the sideline there. I'm like, Graham, what are you doing? I mean, that was a good play. You're just bad execution. And then you know, like that's just because we had a freshman quarterback. And then last year, you know, Jeff Wilson fumbling the ball a couple of times. Is that on Graham? No. There's a couple, like the one against Florida Atlantic, he turned, we hand the ball off to him, he gets hit in the backfield with fumbles, or like there was a bad exchange. He might have got the first down, and maybe the first quarter of that game is completely different. Instead of just getting destroyed absolutely, you know, immediately, maybe that destruction comes later. I don't know. I think it's execution, but I mean, yeah, I think sometimes he's a little too bold with some of those plays. Calling the, what was that, first play pass against Florida, right? At the swamp in the end zone from like the 2 yard line. I think he ran it. I think they ran and they got nowhere. So then he's like, I have to throw. And then he gets sacked. It's the safety. I mean, I don't know. He's like, you have two bad cards to play. What are you going to do with them? He's like, this one. What are you doing playing that card? He's like, okay. I mean, I don't know. I think you got to challenge them. And because if you call a scared play, then they're going to say, oh, all right, coach thinks it's scared time, right? It's okay to be scared. But if you say, you know what? Hey, bowl game. Let's do this one zippity-doo-dah, right? Pull in linemen, fake handoffs. This one should be good. You're like, all right, coach believes in us. And then you go out and execute it. I mean, it works right in the Super Bowl, right? They're like, let's do the quarterback pass, the one where the quarterback catches the ball and he scores on fourth down in the Super Bowl. Let's do that one. They do it, you know? Like, what happens? Tom Brady drops it, but that was a great play call. The Patriots called, like, a version of that same play in the Super Bowl, right? If he catches
and
it,
I get you.
What a genius. What amazing play. He drops it. What an idiot. What are you thinking? Why are you trying to throw it to Tom Brady? You're stupid. That's all of it there, man. That's all of it. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say, you know, it's that, you know, execution, having the right players there. And, you know, sometimes the play call might not be right.
Yeah. So that's why I think I give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have a guy, because we've seen it before. I'd rather have a coordinator that's like, let's call this play, you know, we'll go deep, we'll go for it, right? We'll do something bold, you know, then the guy's like, not looking good, let's run it up the middle, you know? Like what are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we trying to run up the middle?
Daryl Dickey days.
That's Mike Canales days, and maybe even that's maybe even Dan McCartney days. We first, like, was it the first play of the game? I think did we punt? We got the ball, like, in the red zone against Southern Methodist, first time at Southern Methodist, right? I think when they got Chad, whatever, it was over there, right? And, you know, we had the ball, first play, running up the middle. We're like at the 15 or something like that. Like, come on, dude, what did we do? We just got a turnover. call something that goes towards the end zone. You know, stick Darius Terrell out there one on one, float it to him. Something, you know, was it Marcus? Was it Marcus Smith? Right? Yeah.
Yeah, Marcus.
Split him out wide. Let him go one on one. Something. We're at the 15. We end up kicking a field goal on that drive. And so I'm like, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, let's, if we're going to go three and out from here, let's do it because we chose to, right? Let's take three shots to the end zone. Don't get it. Kick a field goal. We, at least we're bold. But I'm like, no, let's run it up the middle. So we run up the middle a couple times. Nothing happens. Field goal. Like, it looks like they feel good because they held us to a field goal, right? And not like feeling bad, or, like that was close.
Yeah. Or, I think we were 3rd and 11, and we on our 40.
Yeah,
and we ran a screen pass to Jimerson.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's always come. That's what I'm saying. It's like having lived through that, like the collective groan from our sideline was pretty much dooming Dan McCartney at that moment. There was like, oh man, not again. So I can live if I'm gonna complain, and I think rightly so, about that play call at SMU on that day, then I'm not going to complain that we're lining up to throw a pass in the swamp. You know what I mean? Like, let's do it. That's fine. Let's do it. And I guess in defense of that McCartney-Canales team, I think at Texas the next year after the bowl game, they came out 5 wide. That was the first thing they did. They came out 5 wide, and they threw the ball, and I think it was just overthrown or something like that.
They had
some bold ideas at one point, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh,
yeah, I mean, it, going back to that specific play, because I have overanalyzed it, but they ran that play at the spring game that spring before, mm-hmm. like 10 times, and it was successful over and over and over. McNulty was placing it, Greer was placing it, and they tried it again, and you see it develop, and he was there. I think it was Marcus Smith. Smith was there, but it was just 2 inches too high.
Yeah.
I think it happened twice.
Yeah.
Going both ways. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so there you go. Like, I think it really depends on the context. I mean, we're not there in the meeting rooms, right? There's that whole thing. They know what the players can do. They know it, right? It's really easy sometimes. That's funny. I think everybody should go play rec league something, because I think that grounds you a little bit. You realize how difficult any of this stuff is. I was playing rec league soccer, right, last Monday, and we were up 4-1. We're feeling good, right? Everybody's feeling good, we're scoring all the goals, and then they get a luck goal, right? They scored, blah blah blah, ball goes in, and we're like, okay, it's fine, right? And then another guy just like rockets the ball top corner, and keeper can't get to it. We're like, oh shit, it's 4-2 now. Like, and everybody, they have that collective feeling like, hey, we just got to tighten up, play our game. It's fine. We're going to control this game. But we couldn't. We couldn't stop the flood. Like, it was just like they just were getting to every ball. You know, they were getting all the luck. It is one of those things that you see happen to your team. You're like, oh, my God, why don't they just do something? Just don't do that. And like, I was kind of chuckling to myself as I was like, right now is the time to do something, right? Like, stop it. You know, how do we stop it? And it was funny, like, right when I was thinking that, they, like, kicked the ball into the box. Our keeper, like, had it. He was, like, totally going to go grab it. But he kind of stumbled because he saw somebody come out the corner of his eye. And so he just kind of, like, tapped it. The ball falls, like, bounces to our defender, who was not ready for it. You know, they're like, oh, well, I thought the keeper was going to get it. So they kind of half-heartedly swung their leg. And the ball bounces into the waiting leg of, like, one of their guys, and they just tap it in. And I was like, how does that happen? We had two shots to just clear it out of here. How does that happen? It's just like a flood of things. And I just say that to say that I think that it's important for everybody to just go out there and compete. Play darts or something. I don't know. Go out there and compete and, you know.
Or hope.
Yeah, I mean, do something. Oh, there's a 50s league. I think one of our players, he's like 57. I just found that out. He's like in great shape. Nobody would have thought that. But the reason you do that is to remember, so you're not just looking at the team all the time that you're watching every week and like, oh, what are they doing? If that was me, why don't they just, you know, I mean, because it's hard. It's real hard. Sometimes Sometimes it's because they suck, yeah, or because they didn't prepare enough and we need to fire this guy. But sometimes it's just hard and they couldn't, you know? Like, I really tried to stop LeBron James from scoring 45, but he did, you know? Like, I was defending with everything that I had, and it didn't matter, you know? He just got by me and dunked it because he's really great. He's really good at what he does.
I didn't know if you knew.
Yeah, I always remember it was like, I think it was like middle school football or something like that. You know, I'm a Cowboy fan, and you see them like, oh my God, how are they just letting Reggie White get in there and just sack everybody? Like, this guy sucks. And then I think, I don't know what happened. I think I looked bigger in pads, and again, it was like middle school, I was like sixth grade or something. Coach was like, you're going to play right here, you can play tight end. And I had to block this guy, and he just like pushed me into the backfield. And I was literally blocking with every single ounce of strength that I had, right? Everything. I did a Kamehameha, you know, just every power ounce of everything. And he just walked me into the backfield, threw me aside, and tackled the running back, right? And they're like, aren't you a tight end? I was like, actually, I play receiver. And they're like, oh, well, no wonder, right? Get over here. Don't try to block that dude anymore. But then it changed everything because that was like a Wednesday, right? It was like Wednesday practice. And then like that Sunday, I was watching the Cowboys. And I saw all those linemen a little bit differently. Like, I was like, it's really hard right there. That guy's probably trying real hard. I'm thinking, this guy sucked. Why don't you just block him? He might be trying his hardest. He might be giving everything. Yes.
F for effort.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like, I think it's important for everybody to go out there and try. It's something, whatever it is, especially like a team sport. I think you get every interaction. Like, you just, I've been on like rec league teams where our best players, like especially when I first started playing soccer, I sucked, so I was not the good player. But like our best player, and we were like tied, and it was like a penalty kick. They're like, all right, you take it. And we all looked at him like, obviously you're gonna take it, right? You're our best dude. And he wanted no part of it. Like, he just didn't want the moment. He was like, Adam, do you want to take it? And I sucked. You know what I mean? Like, I was like bottom half of our team in ability. I was like, I'll take it, but I can't do it. Like, I'm like DeAndre Jordan out here. You know what I mean? Like, you want me to do that? Like, you're not – I'll boldly go up there and take it, but I suck. But this guy, which is, he wanted a part of it. And, I mean, so you see that at every level. It's not just NBA players, right? It's all the way down to rec league guys. And I'm sure this guy's one of those dudes that are like, oh, come on, LeBron, you suck. Choking in the finals. Like, okay, dude. All right. Sorry, just
it's not the same since MJ retired.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, dude, I think it's everybody, in everyone's best interest. So if you can, I don't know, like nobody really, we never ask people to interact with the show, but if you can and you want to send us a story about the time you tried your hardest and you failed at a sport or you just couldn't stop the onslaught, let me know, because I think all those stories are funny. All of them are funny, and I think they're enlightening. Also, do you have any of that?
Well, I played basketball in high school, and I remember 10th grade, I was going up against the team that eventually were, they ended up losing the state championship against Dallas Skyline.
Yeah.
And so at the time, I was a guard, and I was 140 pounds, maybe 6 foot. And I kept getting mismatched with a guy who ended up playing at Missouri, who got a scholarship at Missouri to play basketball there. So he's like 6'4", almost 200 pounds at that time. And I'm like, are we serious? I mean, and, you know, we were...
Coach, is this the best lineup, defensive lineup you got?
Are you sure you want me playing today? Yeah, so I was trying my hardest to get the rebounds, to try to shoot the ball. And yeah. I was getting double teamed. And at a certain point, I felt that give up in my heart because we weren't scoring anything. And I was like, nobody's shooting the ball, so I'll just shoot it. And at that point, I was like stuck between the sideline and the three-point line. And two guys were coming up at me, and I just closed my eyes and just threw it up in the air. And I was like, screw you guys. I'm going home.
Wait, did it get blocked or something? What happened to the ball?
Oh, I got blocked, and then I passed out after that. Okay. The defense mechanism.
Yeah. Can you imagine your coach? He's like looking at his roster, and he's looking there. He's like, all right, Aldo, you'll guard that guy, the 6'4 dude.
He was looking at his feet. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. He's like, we're not. Yeah. Why did I get into coaching? Up? Yeah, I mean, those are fun. I think it's important like that because, I mean, sometimes, you know, like at those times where a team does and you're playing an outmatched team and they believe and, you know, they have enough athleticism to actually compete, you know, I think it puts on perspective when you're out there watching these kids play for our favorite college football team. I think that's about it that we have for this show. I mean, it was the longest show. We're going to get back into the groove of it a bit, podcast a little bit more. Is everybody excited about that? Yeah? Are you excited?
I hope so. I'm excited. It's been kind of boring.
Yeah.
Not podcasting.
Yeah, that's the thing is that, like, I was taking a break because there's nothing, and you can see there's nothing because all the beat writers and all the bloggers who have quotas, they're out there just putting out the almost
countdowns.
Yeah, the five best quarterbacks that you've ever heard of in NCAA football. Yeah, just whatever. Just hashtag content. It's nothing. Like, number four in our series of who could break out. That could be a blog post. But the guy's like, here's going to be my week right here. That's what I'm going to do every day because I had to have something.
And it's on the CBS freaking website or the Washington Post or this or that. And I was like, nobody cares.
Yeah. God forbid you go out and do some reporting, right? Go talk to some people. I think the Athletic does a pretty good job. I wonder when they're going to scoop up somebody from the Dallas area. I know there's a couple guys that cover G5 football, basically. Like, it's the Vanini guy. And I think he did a couple North Texas things. Those have been okay.
Yeah, you like the Athletic because they talk about North Texas. And they mentioned Mason Fine last year and Jeffrey Wilson.
Yeah, I like the Athletic. It's okay. It's, you know, they got some good writers on there. And, I mean, I like it. It's fine. There's the guy that does the editorial, Orr Moyle, I think is that dude. He's not a good writer, though. I don't like reading his stuff. Like, so you get newsletters for whatever you subscribe to. So, like, just like daily caps. And I think, was it Seth somebody? They do the basketball one is good. The football one is good. But the Dallas one is bad. A lot of times he's like, well, I don't have much to say. Haha, guys. Like, he literally writes that. I'm like, what a waste. What a waste of time. You're wasting my time here. But, you know, there you go. It's not a waste of money. Do you subscribe to The Athletic?
No, I'm cheap.
Somebody print it out. Send it to me. Yeah, I subscribe to that. It's pretty decent. Pretty good. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for staying this long. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. Hey, mom. Is this podcast I listen to? And I think you really should try it. Take your grandma to a baseball game. I took my grandma to the baseball game. She had a great time. It's a good time. Bye. I'm done. I mean, I'm going to let it just keep running. Like, nobody goes this far on a podcast, so we're, like, talking to, like, two people right now. What's up,
people? Adam's reminding me that I don't have a grandma to take to the
podcast. Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't say you.
Oh.
Yeah. Dang, way to bring it down. You have a show canon in the show. You have a grandma, right? You make it up, whatever you want. Yeah, I mean, it was a good time. It's funny. She was eating all the popcorn. I was like, Grandma, can I get some popcorn? Right? Jeez. I'm never taking you to another baseball game again. Jeez. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a great day for, like, baseball. I didn't watch any NBA playoffs, but I would just watch, you know, at the game, you know. 90% of minor league baseball entertainment comes from just eating. It's really what it is. It's like a hot dog. They got their silly games or whatever. My kid wanted to go talk to the puffy taco costumed guy. Mascots are weird. You know, like, you could see the guy's face. He's just some guy. And I think season ticket holders of minor league games they're even more weird. She's like, oh, I know that guy. He's such a great person. He's a good. I'm like, what? Who buys minor league season tickets? I don't know.
Minor league games are pretty fun, though. I'm not even talking about the game itself.
Yeah.
Because nobody's ever watching it. But just the experience, you know, the food and watching people.
Yeah.
Watching the mascots. Yeah, everything.
I think that's what I miss about living in Dallas, Fort Worth area, is that there's a lot of minor league going on, right? You can go to minor league basketball game. You can go to minor league. There's, like, the Fort Worth Cats. You go see Frisco, right? And I think there's another one, right? There's like a, is there an independent league one? Grand Prairie. Yeah. Do they have a team?
Just Frisco's the only one I know about.
There's Frisco, Fort Worth, and I think there's a Grand Prairie one. And there's like a minor league, I mean, there's an Allen Eagles, right? Allen, there's a hockey team, a minor league hockey team, right?
Oh, I don't know.
All right, I sound awful now. All right, guys, we're done. Thanks for listening. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.